The value of Jesus is the title of our lesson this morning. And obviously it's that time of year in our culture where people really focus a little bit on Jesus and his birth, Christmas time. But in our lives, as being children of the Most High God, we should consider the value of Jesus much more often than just at Christmas time. And we always place values on things in our lives. You think about it. If I ask you, what's the value of this or that, you give me a dollar amount. You know, we talk about value, you know, we have stores, value city, right? Dollar, general, is a great dollar value, you know. How many of us have seen a Christmas list this year? Almost everybody, right? Some of us have our own. Some of us have received them from family members. Some of them just read them in the paper, you know, and they send them to Santa. Some of us look at a Christmas list and we say, that's too expensive, that's too expensive, not buying that, not doing that, right? Then some of us look at that and say, oh, that's no problem. Don't even look at it in a dollar value amount. We all perceive value in a different way. But we should all perceive the value of Jesus as being extremely important in our lives. 30 pieces of silver is what that value was to the Sadducees and the Pharisees of Jesus and of Judas. And 30 pieces of silver is about equal to a half a year's wage. Kind of, I did a little bit of reading on that, and that's just a good thump figure, you know. So let me ask you, if you're going to put a price on Jesus today in your life, what price tag would you put? If you make 40 grand a year, is he worth 20 grand to you? If you make 100 grand a year, combined household, is he worth 50 grand to you? If you only make 15 grand a year, is he worth $7,500 to you? Because that's exactly what Judas did. He sold Jesus out for a half a year's wages. That was the value of Jesus to him. And to the elders. At that time. Of the church. What a shame, folks. What a shame for them not to recognize the value of Jesus in their lives. And when we start thinking about Christmas and the value of Jesus, we talked about it in our lesson this morning. If you put price tags on your faith, you are sadly mistaken. I am sadly mistaken. Because it's priceless. But I'll give you an example, folks. Something that is a pet peeve of mine. When someone's reading the Word of God, I can tell if somebody is valuing the Word of God, whether they're listening or not. Or they're talking to somebody else. Or they're not paying attention. When we gather around this table to remember Jesus, his value, our salvation, and you don't pay attention, you disrespect Jesus and the Most Holy God. And I plead with you not to devalue Jesus. He only asked for a few minutes on Sunday morning, folks. And I got to remind myself, because Satan tempts me. Think about this, think about that. Yeah, work to do today. What's that smell? That's too much. Not that. We're on the airplane flying to New York. Kelly says, is that you? I said, no. I said, that air intake, somebody up front or something, that's not me. Come on. I'd be laughing about it if it was me sharing that. I'm just kidding. But folks, I'm just thinking, you know, that's a strong odor. That's a strong perfume. Or that kid's doing this. Or I got to do this. Or, oh, I forgot to do this. Satan tempts us with all kinds of things that are no value in our faith with Jesus. And I plead with us to give the value that's due Jesus. Some of the lessons that we'll obtain and look at from God's holy word this morning are on what Jesus talked about value in our lives. And for us to look at God's word and just say, you know what, not only we're talking about the value of Jesus, which is far beyond priceless, and asking us to make sure that we recognize that in our walk of faith, but what other things are of value that Jesus talked about to Jesus? And in Matthew chapter 12, it is written, "Now when he had departed from there, he went into their synagogue, and behold, there was a man who had a withered hand, and they asked him, saying, 'Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?' That they might accuse him. Then he said to them, 'What man is there among you who has not one sheep, and if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not lay hold of it and lift it out? Of how much more value then is a man than a sheep? Therefore it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath.' Then he said to the man, 'Stretch out your hand,' and he stretched it out, and it was restored as whole as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and plotted against him how they might destroy him." Jesus said, "Of how much more value is a man than of a sheep?" Is Jesus' values system the same as ours? Do we place Jesus and people as the most valuable things in our lives? Brother DC would ask me, "Don, how much do you value a Dodge over a Chevy?" And I've got an opinion on that. But you know what? There's no way in the world I should ever worry about those values way beyond and above souls of people, of human beings, of God's creation. Our priorities need to be straight. There's no better time to revalue our values at time of Christmas. How much more value is a man than a sheep? I mentioned a couple weeks ago about how people treat dogs and pets above human beings. Folks, we need to be cautious, okay, to put things in their proper place and how we value things. Do we value giving gifts above receiving gifts? You know, Brother Phil, Kelly's brother, talked about the gifts and some things in his lesson last Sunday, and it made me think, you know, the Bible says it's better to receive than to give. Or give than receive, I'm sorry. Okay? It's better to give than to receive. I'm getting it right here. That's what, you know. But for us to put a value on that. I'm very thankful I'm at an age to where I really don't care if I get anything for Christmas. And I've listened to some Christmas songs. There's a, you know, that talks about the value of people singing a song that all they want for Christmas is to be with someone. They don't want to be lonely. Their value is about people. When Jesus was here, he tried to explain that we don't know where Jesus lived. If he did have a house for a while with his mom and dad, okay? Where he stayed once he started his ministry for 3 years. All the things that we judge each other by and our success and who we are and our value, who we're worth, what we're worth. Jesus, there's nothing in the Bible that records any of that about Jesus. Because the valuable things in life are people and our souls and our relationships. Jesus' whole purpose here on was to show us how to love one another. And how to behave. Peoples. Amongst peoples. If you behave right and your value system is right, you'll spend your money right. You'll give of your means. You'll be blessed. It is written. Well, we're going to read another passage that talks about that. How much more value is a man than a sheep? And Jesus says, way beyond what you expect. And you need to reevaluate your values, folks. And in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field and how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Are you not of more value than they? Jesus says. And he takes care of them. Where's your faith? Are you confident God's going to take care of you? You know, we were in New York last weekend, and there's a good percentage of those folks don't have a car. They rely on public transportation. Now, some of it's free, some of it costs money. So they're still spending money. Their apartments... my brother-in-law's apartment is with two bedrooms, a kitchen and a bath, and a living room. It's smaller than this set of pews right here. So him and his wife and my niece live in that. My brother-in-law and his wife and his niece live in a room, an apartment, about like that. And they got two dogs, big dogs. Now, to me, people live in apartments and have dogs. That's a personal opinion, not a biblical opinion, okay? Just because you got to take care of them. But for me to recognize that people live totally different from me, they don't have to have a couple acres, okay? I don't have to have a couple acres. I've chosen that. But if that prohibits me from valuing people above something else, I need to examine myself. If my race cars in my shop are a larger value than helping save souls, I need to examine that. If anything I have that's a material possession is more valuable to me than your souls, helping each other make it to heaven, walking by faith, I need to examine that. I need to remove that. Or, just like this passage says, no one can serve two masters. A king with all his stuff and all his subjects can serve Jesus. He doesn't have to give up all he has. But he's got to serve Jesus first and foremost. His value of life needs to be in Jesus. What is the value of Jesus? And he's far above any material thing that we could be blessed with. Are you not of more value than they? And God will take care of us. That's the other thing. You know, there's many times in my life I've worried about a job. I've worried about paying bills. I've worried about this. I've worried about that. I don't really would consider myself a worrywart, but if I keep telling you about what I worry about, you're all going to think I'm a worrywart. And the neat thing about God's holy word is, God says, don't worry about it. Walk by faith. I'll take care of you. Well, I want to take care of myself. A little help from my wife. Okay? And I say that because you know what? Our lifestyle is built on two incomes instead of one. A lot of folks are nowadays. When we look at our value system, as Jesus says here, folks, where's your faith? That's kind of what he's saying. Don't be striving and struggling in this world. Enjoy it as a blessing, okay? But recognize, if I can't get over a little bit of money, okay, issues, how am I going to get over sin issues? If I can't get over worldly things, or we can't get over worldly things, how can we get over spiritual things? And Jesus said that one time. I'm not even talking to you about heavenly things because you don't even got control of the simple things of life. Job struggled with it and was talking about it in 28, but he's talking about wisdom. And I looked at all the passages in the Bible that talked about value, and this is one of the ones of the Old Testament that is in our lesson this morning. And it says in Job chapter 28, but where can wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Man does not know its value, nor is it found in the land of the living. And I wanted to use all of it just because I got so much passages this morning. I cut them down to these two sections. But basically, they mention all the things. Nothing declares wisdom. Nothing will prove wisdom. Nothing shows you wisdom. And then in verse 27 it says, then he, God, saw wisdom and declared it. He prepared it. Indeed, he searched it out. And to man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. We struggle with knowing what the value of wisdom is. Okay? Fear the Lord. Did anyone fear God Almighty any more than Jesus did? No. Did anyone follow and obey God any more than Jesus did? No. That's why he could be the Lamb of God. That's why he could be our Savior, the Savior of the world, of all mankind. The Word is God's wisdom to us. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It is written. And to depart from evil. So I ask, what value is there in your life of trying to obtain the wisdom of God? What value is there? Here's what happens, folks. I'm not afraid of anything. I'm not afraid of God, Jesus, salvation, hell. I'm not afraid of nothing. I'm big, bad, and nothing scares me. I can't remember the song Easton sung the night I've done that. Fear not. That's what it is. Fear not. Value. If we look at this passage, if we do not fear God and his wisdom, and we do not recognize that evil is destructive to us, and saying no to sin is not a valuable thing in our lives, it's okay to watch that. It's okay to say that. You're devaluing that which is righteous and holy. That which is good. That which enables us to be confident in our faith. Satan doesn't want us to be confident in our faith. He does not want us to walk by faith. He wants us to walk by sight. He wants us to do our own thing and do good things and make up mistakes and just keep worrying about, am I doing, you know, am I saved or not? And Jesus came to say, stop! The value is not there. The value, and that's the value of his blood that was shed on Calvary Christ. That's the value of sin being removed in our lives.
can't put a dollar price on it. It's not worth a half a year's wages. How crazy could someone be? And there's times in our lives, folks, that we make that mistake. That we put a dollar value on Jesus. This is how much he's worth to give today. This is how much time I'm going to spend. I went to church, and I made it there a couple times this month. There's folks that aren't here this morning because something is more valuable to them than honoring Jesus, to honor the God that created us. It's more important than their salvation. As my mother said, actions speak louder than words. And we need to pray for them and love them and encourage them to walk by faith.
Because I would love, before I die, to see this place full on a Sunday morning. We continue with Luke chapter 12. I'm going to read through the whole chapter, and obviously the highlighted passages are talking about things of value with Jesus. This whole chapter talks about things of value. And that's why I couldn't delete the whole thing or just pick and choose a little bit. For us to understand the things that he talks about of being value in our lives that come out to me in this passage. So Luke chapter 12, in the meantime, when an innumerable multitude of people had gathered together so that they had trampled one another, he began to say to his disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have spoken in the dark will be heard in the light. And what you have spoken in the ear in inner rooms will be proclaimed on the housetops. And I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body. And after that, have no more they can do. But I will show you to whom you should fear. Fear him who after he is killed has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for two copper coins? And not one of them is forgotten before God. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. And Jesus continues and says, also I say to you, whoever confesses me before men, him, the Son of Man, also will confess before the angels of God. But he who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. And anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But to him who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven. Now when they bring you to the synagogues and magistrates and authorities, do not worry about how or what you should answer or what you should say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. Then one from the crowd said to him, teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. But he said to him, man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you? And he said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For one's life does not consist of the abundance of the things he possesses. Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, a ground of a certain rich man yielded plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Since I have no room to store my crops. So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Obviously, folks, the two highlighted passages out of this passage in Luke, confessing Jesus before men. Telling people about Jesus should be of high value in your life. Because Jesus is going to proclaim you in doing such to our Father in heaven. And being rich towards God is a value. Living righteously, helping others make it to heaven, telling other people about salvation and Jesus is being rich toward God. There's nothing wrong with having things, folks, and enjoying the blessings of this life. But when it takes priority over seeking and saving that which is lost, sharing your faith. Man cannot have two masters. You're kidding yourself. You're still in control if you haven't given it over to God. It's only money. It happened last weekend. We were in New York. And I tip fairly well, okay? And I made a mistake. I didn't really make a mistake. I'm like, you know, we had good service, these people. You know, I just, you know. Some of you only tip 10%. Some of us only, I'll say us, okay? Some of us only tip 15%. Some of us tip 20% when we go somewhere. Some of us don't tip at all. But we use the same mentality with Jesus. Is no tip good enough for Jesus? Is 10%, 15%, 20%? Or is it in the value of helping somebody else out? We left all kinds of tips last weekend in New York City. And I spent probably $100 over 20%. Okay? Not to glory in myself at all. It's just money. But I helped brighten some people's day. And I told them Merry Christmas. And I said, thank Jesus for today. I mentioned Jesus more in that trip to New York than I do here. And I'm thinking, why are you doing that, Don? Well, I felt good about everything. I use that as an example, folks, that we put value on things. Don't put a value on Jesus. He's far beyond anything. He's priceless. So he should be the most preeminent thing in our lives. And then he said to his disciples, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life or what you will eat, nor about the body or what you will put on it. Life is more than food. And the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which they have neither storehouses nor barn. And God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? Sorry, I didn't bolden that one. And which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? If you then are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? Consider the lilies and how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to all of you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothes the grass, which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown in the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. The value is in the kingdom of God. I know this is a reiteration a little bit, folks, of what we read in Matthew, but you know what? Where's the value? The value is in God's word. The value is in the wisdom of God. The value is in the kingdom of heaven. I have been blessed in my life, folks, because of my faith. No other reason. That's how I perceive that. The providence of God in my life and walking by faith. Now, I may have been a millionaire by now if I hadn't walked by faith. I don't know. I may have been a pauper, even more so without Jesus. Monetarily. But we are all children of the Most High God, of the things of value. Be confident. If that is a value in your life, share it with other people. In closing this morning, just a recap of the things that we talked about. What is the value of Jesus in your life? Are we much more valuable than a sheep? That's my hillbilly coming out. Okay, I missed the word. Are we much more of a value than a sheep? Do we value the fear of the Lord in departing from evil? As Job mentioned. Are we not of more value than birds of the air, as Jesus said? Are we of more value than many sparrows? Is there value in confessing Jesus before men in your life? Is there value in being rich toward God? What value do we place on seeking the kingdom of heaven? And just a reminder, what title of our lesson, the value of Jesus, what is the value of Jesus in your life? The neat thing about Jesus is he forgives all the times we didn't value him like we should. And we can start fresh right now at this minute. Only Jesus does that, because we hold values and baggage for years, folks. We need to follow Jesus and let go of that baggage. But I'm letting you know that Jesus wants us each and every day to be fresh and anew and not let the burdens of sin weigh us down. And I plead with you this morning, if you got issues on your heart or you haven't given your life to Jesus, that you do it as an invitation as we stand and sing Selected Hymn.